atomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your brain is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
I am a poor wayfaring stranger. I'm traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields lie just before me, where God's redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going home to see my mother, and all my loved ones who've gone on. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Good afternoon. This is The Road to Damascus. My name is Michael Jay, and I'm your host. Today is Friday, the ninth day of June in the year of our Lord, 2023. We're broadcasting on revolution.radio on Studio B. And our producer is Mitchell Buck. Mitchell is a former Marine, although any Marine will tell you once a Marine, always a Marine. Well, he's standing in the gap for us. He's been doing this for years now, producing these programs, making things work, going through, jumping through hoops and watching out for digital landmines. And he is a real blessing for this program and the program I do and other programs also, like with James Fetzer. The issue is Mitchell is there, and he will accept your calls today if you want to call in. I'm opening this up on both hours, beginning now, at 540-352-4452. This is a very important opportunity for fellowship, for confessing Christ, for sharing your concerns, for offering prayer, because America has never been in as much danger as she's in right now. And it's not all about what our outward, overt, vicious enemies of God and enemies of liberty and enemies of individual sovereignty are about. The reality is many Americans are in a position where they oppose themselves, not understanding what they are allowing to occur, because they believe somehow that government is just as good as depending on God. They depend on government and they depend on their corporations for their very livelihoods. And this is backwards. It's upside down. The Lord is the only one who can sustain us in actuality. He can use government. He can use corporations. He can use your job. He can use your skill set. He can use many, many things. But let's realize, let's understand that no man can receive anything except it come from God. If you want to find out about the Word of God, about the living God, that is, read the Word of God. Ask God to open your heart and mind and eyes and ears to hear what the Word of God has to share with you. The Road to Damascus focuses on life-changing encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. Meeting the Lord Jesus is a profound, life-changing experience. For the man named Saul, who was on the road to Damascus, it was a traumatic experience which blinded him and filled him with horror, because he found out the people he had been hunting, many of whom had been tortured and killed, were children of God by their belief in Jesus Christ, and that he, Saul, had been persecuting the Savior of the Hebrew people, the Savior of the whole world. He had been persecuting the King of Kings himself. Though he was zealously religious, his religious was based on the traditions of men, on Talmudic error, on the satanic Bible that was the oral Talmud at the time it came out of Babylon. He had been seduced into that horrific works religion, but it had nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It had nothing to do with the Torah, the law and the prophets. It had nothing to do with the new covenant that was fulfilled when prophecy was manifest in a virgin conceiving, bearing a child, and the husband of that virgin, a man named Joseph, was told by an angel, "You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." That's a transliteration, but the name Jesus stems from the root word Yeshua or Yahashua, which means the Lord is salvation, and it was rendered in the Old Testament Joshua. So the reality is Moses, who brought the law, could not bring the people into the promised land, but Joshua could, and that is, it was a pointing to a New Testament grace. Even as David, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, was told he could not build the temple because he was a bloody man. He had innocent blood on his hands. But his son Solomon, whose name means peace, he could build the temple. So all the New Testament revelation pointed to the living Word of God being made flesh and dwelt among us. And Saul of Tarsus had a close encounter with this living God who had already been resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. And then his heavenly Father sent back the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, poured out his Spirit on all flesh, and many people received that power that we all need to be a witness for Christ. So the reality is Saul had been persecuting them himself, persecuting Christ. He was blinded. He fell down on the ground. He was 3 days without sight until God sent a man named Ananias to pray for him, restore his sight, lay hands on him. So he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he began to preach Christ. That is, he began to preach the gospel that was being shared by the people of God, the same people he had been persecuting. So that was an about face. That was true conversion. That was repentance from dead works. And he began to walk with God, was so filled with grace in the Holy Spirit. He wrote 13 of the books in the New Testament, and he gave us his testimony. His testimony was revealed in the book of Acts and also in the books that he wrote in the New Testament. So my own testimony has some similar conditions. As I was also an enemy of God and his Christ, I met one of God's children on a road called the El Camino Real in Redwood City, California in 1968. And the reality is I met God there because he was intercepting me as I was moving towards hell in my own unbelief and fear and shame and rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, in sorcery and immorality. And God gave me repentance. Praise God. At this time, let's pray. Let's pray the prayer that our Savior taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This program is not offering fast food churchianity. This program is not offering fast food churchianity. I'm not going to hand you slogans. I'm not going to hand you Christianized humanism. We're going to get into the Word of God, and by the grace of God, we're praying that God lets the Word of God get into us, that he will sow into these holy vessels the incorruptible seeds of the Word of God, that he will cause to become fruitful, to actually be manifest within us, that is growing the plants of righteousness and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God wants our hearts to be turned into the garden of our fellowship, like it was when Adam walked with God in the garden, because our spirits can be and are translated into the heavens as we are seated, that is, believers who have been born again, especially those who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in another language, an unknown tongue. The power of God comes on us, and he quickens us and prays through that most unruly member, the tongue. Want to read about that? Read the book of James. But the reality is we're not offering fast food churchianity. We will offer a full meal, including bottles of living water and the meat of the Word of God. As it is written, he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. I only want to offer you what my Heavenly Father is showing me to offer you. The title for our fellowship today is Preparing for Battle in the Cause of Christ. Personal prayer that includes those, that is, we're praying for others, who find the grace to join us in our spiritual fellowship is part of our walk with God. We have a testimony that we have met God's people. We have experienced as we're gathering in the name of Jesus Christ, even on the phone or over Skype or whatever, we're gathering in the name of Jesus Christ, and we experience our fellowship with our Savior as he has shown us, where two or three are gathered in my name. He wasn't limiting it to two or three. It could be 2 or 300, 2 or 3,000, 2 or 3 million gathering in the name of Jesus in the Spirit. There he is in our midst. The King of Glory will reveal himself by his Spirit. Praise God. So we continue to share in personal friendship and fellowship, in getting together in God's presence and enjoying the transforming power of God. Why? Because our fellowship is about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. And we're experiencing having been saved, being saved presently, and being given a hope that we will be saved because he will finish what he started. Because we are being taught also how to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For those of you inclined to pray in the Spirit right now for the blessing of God on what he desires to share with us on this program, please wait on God in this grace also, as I'm now going to pray. Father in heaven, we are surrounded by the enemies of God. Your New Jerusalem, Lord, which is the bride of the Lamb, has its feet in the earth, but our head is in the heavenlies. The body of Christ is under attack from many, many directions. Our food is being poisoned. Our air is being poisoned. Our water is being poisoned. Our minds are being poisoned and having to resist lies and deception and all sorts of provocations and seductions. Lord, our schools are destroying our children. Our government is committing treason. They use science not for good, but for witchcraft, for murder and theft and destruction, because these people, these rebels, are involved in the sin of witchcraft, and they are cursed, Lord. We are under attack because it's concerted attack against you, Father, and against your children, against everything that you said was good, including what you said was very good, because on the sixth day you created man in your image, male and female you created them, and you called us, you called your people, you spoke living words into the lives of men and women, in the lives of our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, and you said, be fruitful and multiply. You also spoke those words into the whole creation of every living thing. You gave them the power to procreate, to fulfill your word, be fruitful and multiply. But our religion is being poisoned by doctrines of demons, by counterfeit leaders, by counterfeit pastors, by false teachers, by deceivers, many of which are in secret societies, many of which are in religions of Satanism, like Mormonism, like Christian Science, like Jehovah's Witness, like many of our denominations today who have rejected the gospel, who have rejected the deity of Christ. They teach a religion, but they don't reveal your salvation because they themselves are not saved. Like the doctrines of demons that come out of the temple of Lucifer in Rome, many millions of people have been deceived because they're not teaching the gospel. They're not teaching the power of the cross of Christ. They're teaching a religion. They've elevated a false priesthood, which is as the sin of the Nicolaitans. Lord, we're asking your help. We're asking you, Lord, as you set a table before us, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from these constructs of evil and the weaponry of wickedness. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our God and our King, who you raised from the dead. Amen. Praise God. Father, we're being shown by those who witness in truth the numerous crimes being committed by the enemies of mankind and your enemies also, that the abominations of blood sacrifices are being multitude in most of the creation by the seed of the serpent as they embrace their accursed nature and walk in the works of their father, the devil. Lord, the reality is we're continuing to slaughter people made in your image. We're continuing to do horrific things in creating wars in doing what's necessary to push people into self-defense so we can call them terrorists and destroy them and destroy their cities. Lord, this wicked nation is being ruled over by devil-worshipping and corrupted monsters, and what you call bastards, Lord, because they're not subject to your discipline. They are doing the work of their father, the devil. And we're asking, Father, that you have mercy on us. Lord, we're being counted as sheep for the slaughter. Lions and wolves surround your flocks, but our hope is in God. You are our refuge and fortress, our high tower and deliverer. This generation is being attacked, and blood sacrifices continue in an horrific new normal as vicious and wicked people seek to destroy all moral boundaries as they want to legalize all of their predatory practices that they have been doing in secret for times that you alone have numbered. We are asking you to deliver us from this evil and the wickedness in high places. We're praying to you through our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord, who you raised from the dead. Amen. Again, the number here, if you want to call in, is 540-352-4452. I'll confess to you without shame, I had a big cup of coffee a short time ago. Praise God. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." He told me that the very first day I met him, 7 October 1968. He told me that almost, 5 years from now, it will be 60 years ago. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Psalm 9, we read in verse 1, and I'm choosing Psalm 9, and I'm going to read from Proverbs 9 also, and also from the book of Jude. I'm choosing Psalm 9 because by God's grace, today is the ninth day in the month of June, 2023, in the year of our Lord. So let's see what God has to say for us, to us rather, and on our behalf in the living word of God. "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name." Here's my commentary. Did you know God inhabits the praises of his people? Did you know that when you sing holy songs or hymns, that he inhabits the praises of his people? When the Spirit of God is moving in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of his little flock, where 2 or 3 or 20 or 30 or 2 or 300 people gather in his name, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, singing the words of God, the holy hymns that God has given us, that he comes into our midst and starts changing us. That's why we can experience his holy presence and glory in him and worship in God our Savior, who purchased us with the blood of his Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Did you know that? Because I'm telling you, that's why we experience joy in our hearts when we're singing the holy truth of God's salvation and his mercies. Many of the old hymns reveal this glorious truth much more than the self-centered hymns, so-called Christian songs, that have to be accompanied with Christian rock rhythms and things like that. This is not a good thing that's happening because they use the excuse of seeker friendly so they can sound like the world instead of sounding like a people filled with holy fear and enjoying the transforming power of the presence of God while we're worshiping him with songs that flow out of the word of God and are put into music by people that he has called. Just as he called the psalmist, he has called us to worship the Lord. Have you ever heard one of the songs that Martin Luther penned in the presence of God, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"? Have you ever heard that song? It's stirring. because this man laid his life down by confessing Christ before the temple of Lucifer in Rome that was teaching a religion of works. But God revealed to Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith, not by religion, praise God. Not by paying what? Indulgences. Not by deceiving people, but actually teaching them the liberty that comes from walking by faith and gathering his name and believing in the fact that God called all his people, as it's revealed, as a royal priesthood, not just a select group who are guilty of the sin of what I said earlier. Forgive me, but you know what I'm talking about, I hope. Forgive me. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Every one of us has a testimony, the least of which is also the best at the same time. What do you mean, Michael J.? Well, the fact is, if you have faith in Christ, he has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of eternal light and salvation. He has taken away your sin by faith. He has cleansed you with the blood of the Lamb. He has given you everlasting life. You've become a new creation. Anything above and beyond that is just glorious gravy, praise God. Thanks be to God who causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the one who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's called us to warn this generation. He's called us to share our testimony. He's called us to confess Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. I will be glad and rejoice in thee, David said. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. The living God, the creator of all things, is the highest power in all of the creation, but also outside of this temporal reality, which is the earth. He's in the heavens. He does whatever he wants to. He is sovereign, and he will reveal his glory here a little, there a little, because if he really showed us his glory, we'd just disintegrate. We would cease to exist. He remembers that we are dust. He gives us what we can handle, praise God. But when you come into the presence of the living God, when you experience by the Spirit a sense of his glory and power and majesty, when you witness his wondrous storms of thunder and lightning, when he shakes the earth, praise God, even when he uses wicked people to use their earthquake technology, this is still the evidence of the creation. And yes, he allows wicked people to do wicked things. Read the first chapter of the book of Job. Read the whole book and you'll see what God did. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. God has fought for me over the years. He has turned my enemies back. He delivered me from danger again and again and again in the jungles of Vietnam, but also in my dealing with people who were infected with the false gospels of churchianity, who were religious people, teaching us how to join their cult of personalities, how to join their corporate religions so that they could build what they called their flock, even though it was God's flock. But these were not people who were taught by God how to lay down their lives for others. These were people who were into corporate churchianity for the money. They were false shepherds, false teachers, false prophets, and there's a lot of them. And if you've been a Christian for a while and gone into these places where they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God, where they do not teach you how to hear the voice of God, they teach you how to be religious. I had to learn that the hard way. After Vietnam, after God delivered me from so much danger, from people blowing up all around me, from typhoons and from the creatures in that jungle, I was filled with the fear of the Lord. I just wanted to learn how to serve God, but the Lord allowed me to go through three different Bible colleges, and I found out because the Lord showed me afterwards that he let me call it churchianity because he showed me this is not the way I teach. I'm going to deliver you. He was actually pointing out that he was going to deprogram me, you know, of all the religion, and he was going to teach me himself what it means to walk with God. I believe this resonates with a lot of people out there. If you want to talk about your experiences in this area, you can call 540-352-4452. This program is a fellowship for God's people. This program is a fellowship for people who want to know God. This program is a fellowship for people who want prayer, who need prayer. And this fellowship is about God healing us of our fear, our unbelief, our pride, and our shame. Why? Well, you can't give what you haven't received from God. And I've received all of these graces that I witnessed to in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, he is glorious. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Praise God. And he is my help. He is my rock, my fortress, my hiding place, my high tower, my defense. He is the living God who has given me, shown me his sufficient grace in some of the most horrific trials that I had never imagined. He was there for me. He did not leave me. He did not forsake me, even though I thought he had. But he didn't. And he showed me his sufficient grace. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. You sat in the throne judging right. That's right. God sat in his throne judging what was right. And he delivered me from those that accused me. He delivered me from those who wound up asking me to leave, not to come back. Why? Because they didn't want what God had given me to share with them. Because they were invested in their strong delusion, in their religious forms of godliness, because they had found out how to make the system work, how to maintain control, and how to fleece the people of God by turning the house of God into a house of merchandise. And it's filled. The houses of God are filled with people who are fleecing the flock of God. Prove me wrong if you want. Okay, thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their names forever and ever. This is a very significant reality that billions of people right now, and many of them have been there for almost 6,000 years, billions of people are in hell right now. What happened? Well, when they rejected the light of God that is in all the creation, God turned them over to do inconvenient things, to worship parts of the creation instead of the Creator alone. They were turned over because they were born in trespasses and sins. They were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the reality is they adopted the traditions of their fathers. And they didn't look to God to give them repentance because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is the default for almost everyone around us unless God reveals himself to us. And blessed are those that have godly parents. Blessed are those Christians who were raised up by parents who laid hands on them and prayed for them regularly and confessed what they saw about their rebellion and disciplined them in Christ. Blessed are those people who were raised up in godly homes and learned the fear of God as children. Praise God. It's beyond describing what God spared them from. Verse 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. I'm going to go back now and read verse 6. O thou enemy. It's talking about the enemies of God who destroy a lot because that's who they are. They are destroyers because they are filling their cup with eternal destruction. They are vessels of wrath being prepared for destruction. Number six, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorials perished with them. This is the reality. Our government destroyed Syria. Our government destroyed Libya. Our government destroyed places in Yemen, in Somalia, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in other places. Our government has been used by the three-legged stool of the noxious worldly odor. The religious stool is in Rome. They have their own penis statue in their phallic symbol out in front of the temple of Lucifer in Rome. Then there's monetary government in the city of London. They have their penis statue out there, their phallic symbol in the city of London. And Washington, the District of Columbia, has the Washington Memorial, which is the symbol of Freemasonic Lucifer worshiping of the phallic symbol. They believe that they have taken the symbol of what God has given man in procreation and made that their God. They worship in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's their worship. That's what they serve. So God has used the warfare of this Freemasonic nation, the United States of America, to destroy literally millions of people over the centuries. Millions. And we've talked about how we created the Soviet Union. We've talked about how we created Red China. We've talked about how we brought communism to Vietnam. How did we do it? Well, we had no intention of winning. We could have taken out the cities of North Vietnam in one day. In one day. But no, we were under a Freemasonic UN mandate. It was a UN police action. We had no constitutional right or authority to be there because we never declared war, but we were submitted to the ungovernment created by a communist construct that set up their building on Rockefeller property in New York City. It's called the ungovernment. Some people call it the UN, but it is a classic communist construct using so-called democratic voting, which they control by their money, democratic voting, to introduce international policies. And our poopy pants President Joe Biden has submitted the United States of America, contrary to the law of God, to the UN control of our nation under any medical emergency. And who gets to declare the emergency? The ungovernment. They're planning on coming in for forced vaccines. Now, many people in America are very grateful that they never accepted the construct of deception. They never were vaxxed. They don't have what was injected in many people who are now injured or dead. Millions have been killed by what I call government-sponsored suicide by lethal injection. Many people have been injured, and they can't have children anymore because it attacks the ovary and the testes. You can't have children anymore. Your family line is ended. This was an act, by definition, of genocide, because the Great Reset that multinational Nazis are promoting is a genocide of those they consider inferior, the useless eaters, the people who will not submit to their noxious worldly odor that their father, the devil, has promised them. But the word of God says, for thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, and thou hast put their name, put out their name forever and ever. What does it mean? Well, the people that are being used by Satan to bring murder, theft, and destruction, their names have been removed from the book of life. They are no longer in the book of life. They have been destroyed. Can God call them back out of death into life? Yeah, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. They qualify for salvation. That's the only thing you need to do is accept that you're a sinner. You have fallen short of the glory of God. You're breaking his commandments. You are under God's curse because the wages of sin is death. That's why God let Michael J. preach the gospel, because I was a serious sinner before I was 20. God had mercy on me, and he revealed his son to me and in me, and he gave me the power of the Holy Spirit. He let me be baptized in water in obedience so I could be identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. I went down into the water, and then I came out of the water in a likeness of the resurrection of Christ. And I am, by faith, walking with God in newness of life. But the word of God says, the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. You know, it's given unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Praise God. It's given unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. People that have been down in hell for more than 6,000 years. Yeah, it's more than that. Because we've already had 6,000 years. We're headed toward 7,000. It's more than 6,000 years they have been in hell since before the flood of Noah. They've been in hell, the lower parts of the earth, being tormented. Those who are first will be last. Those who are last will be first. The reality is, what? The first people who rebelled against God and who did not repent were the first into hell, and they'll be getting out at the end times. The reality is, these things are not easily understood. God uses his Spirit to bring revelation into our lives, but then it's given unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So they've been in hell for thousands of years, and then they're going to stand before the judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll be judged before the whole creation, before all the angels, before all people who have ever lived. They'll be judged, and then, because they do not have Christ as their advocate, they did not receive him in life. They entered into eternity without the Savior, without the faith of Abraham, which was before the New Testament, without the faith of Job, without the faith of David or Solomon. The reality is, they did not receive Christ. They entered eternity without the Lamb of God that was prophesied 500 years before Christ. Without the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, they entered eternity without salvation. And then they're going to stand before the judgment seat. And after that, and God's going to reveal all their sins to everyone. And then the angel of the Lord will cast him into the lake of fire, which is the second death prepared for the devil and his angels. So the Lord used Paul to say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's my testimony. We defeat the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto the death. No one will ever be able to prevent me from sharing the gospel of Christ, because he comforted me when people around me were blowing up. He comforted me in the valleys of the shadow of death. He comforted me. He strengthened me. He showed me I could trust him and not be afraid. And when I was afraid, he showed me I could trust him. Praise God. The Lord, the word of God says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. God's people will be delivered because God looks at them and sees the blood of Christ over them. The blood of the Passover lamb is over us, and the judgment of God will bypass us because he gives us repentance and forgiveness. Praise God. The Passover is not about Easter bunnies. It's about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. We're in warfare right now. The name of this program is Preparing for Battle in the Cause of Christ. People that are Christians are being openly persecuted in many nations throughout the world. The white Christians in America are being targeted and accused of being domestic terrorists by the people who are the real domestic terrorists, because the doctrine of devils that they embrace is this. First of all, they're liars, they're thieves, they're murderers. So they were taught by their father, the devil, accuse those around you, your enemies, of doing what you yourself are guilty of. They are the real domestic terrorists. They're the ones who blew up from the inside the World Trade Center in Building 7, the Alpha P. Murrah building. They're the ones that created the hurricanes that destroyed a lot of Florida and a lot of Louisiana, a lot of Texas, because they were using weather warfare, because their motto is Ordo Ab Chao, or order out of chaos. They create the chaos so they could then impress their order, which is actually moral disorder, on everyone around them. The Lord rebuke these silly bastards in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. Verse 10. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Remember, I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember, it's quoted in Hebrews. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Now, the Zion we're talking about is not in the Jerusalem that's below. It's in the heavenly places. That's where the real Zion is. It's in the heavens. Okay? Declare among the people his doings. That's what we do on this program. We declare the Lord's works. Praise God, his works of salvation, what he has done, where he delivers people, where he fills our mouth with praise. Hallelujah. Where he quickens us when we're feeling overwhelmed and we're feeling oppressed. God delivers us from evil. That's why he gave us that prayer to pray. You want to do the will of God? Pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. He said, Lord, deliver us. It said, deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That's what God does, because he inspired that prayer. The living word of God actually shared that prayer. That's the way we should pray. Don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Amen. That's God's will. Praise God. But you have to mix the word of God with faith. You can't remain in unbelief. You can't be double-minded. You have to confess. I'm double-minded. I'm in unbelief. I'm full of fear that you'll just drop me on my head on the ground because I don't trust you. Okay, well, here's a little insight. He already knows you don't trust him. He already knows you're afraid. His understanding is infinite. Just be real with God. You could say it this way. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord, but heal my unbelief. For Jesus' sake, Lord. Amen. Sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Now listen to this, because many of us have been killed. Many of God's people have been killed. Now, the word of God says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't go in down into paradise anymore. As it is written, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. When Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth, he revealed his glory, the kingdom of heaven, to those that were in paradise, those who were in hell. There was no escape from hell. That was the other side of that great chasm. There was a chasm between hell or Sheol and paradise. And so he led captivity captive, and all those spirits went up into the heavenlies, and they're part of that great host of witnesses in the heavens right now. And by the way, our fellowship is with them also, because all members of the body of Christ are one in Christ. So the reality is, here's what God did. When he makes inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the humble. People that commit themselves into the hands of God when they're facing death, when they're facing death by any means, where the wicked are allowing them to starve to death, people who are facing these things and humble themselves and cry out to God, listen, he remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, verse 13. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. You that lift us up from the gates of death. This is what God did. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes and die in me will never die. He said, do you believe that? Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? I do. He's my resurrection and life, praise God. He has given us eternal life, praise God. The just will live by faith. You don't have to feel like you have eternal life. You live by faith. Accept what the word of God is doing, as God, by his Spirit, is sowing the living words of God into the garden of your heart. Allow those words to germinate. Let the water of the living water of the word of God sprinkle those seeds, the incorruptible seeds of the word of God, and let them germinate. And you'll begin to experience fellowship in that holy garden that he creates in our hearts. For those of you that know what I'm talking about, you should call in and bear witness. Be the amen to what God has shown you, because the perfect love of Christ casts out all fear. Perfect love of God casts out all fear. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid to confess Christ, because that literally is a dead end. And here it says, I will rejoice in thy salvation. It says, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider the trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. You that lift me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. Gates stands for God, for judgment, government. Gates stand for government, injustice, and judgment, and righteousness. That's where the gates of God are. You can't pass into the living, a new Jerusalem, without going through the gate. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. Nobody can enter into the thing that God is doing except through Christ. So we meet the Lord, and he sanctifies our hearts. He rebuilds the gates in the temple of our bodies that were destroyed by sin. If that's what happened, if your city where God wanted to meet with you was destroyed by your sin, he will restore that city. He will rebuild his temple in the midst of your spirit. He will bring you into holy, glorious fellowship with him and with his people. And we'll see the glory of the Lord. I will rejoice in thy salvation. You see, people that know the Lord will be able to recognize and discern you by the spirit that's in them. They will know. We know if people in our lives are in experiencing God's glory, but we also know if they're troubled, if they're oppressed, if they're experiencing, you know, a struggle with unbelief and grieving and whatever. Why? Because God has made us members one of another. We're called to bear one another's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ. We're called to come alongside of others by the Spirit and exhort and strengthen and comfort one another. The Word of God says, here's the commandment I want to give you, that you love one another as I have loved you and laid my life down for you. Read the book of 1 John. It will bless you. Read the letter, the first letter of John. It's towards the end of the New Testament before Jude. There's, you know, John 1, John 2, John 3. It's not the Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament. No, this is towards the end. I believe it comes after James and before Jude. So the reality is what God does is unique to us as individuals. He calls his sheep by their name. As a matter of fact, when God gives us the grace to be overcomers in certain areas, he gives us a new name. Thank you, Mitchell. Praise God. Coming to the end of the first hour, let me say this. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. In the net that they hid is their own foot taken. Every single wicked thing the wicked do is actually they're setting up a trap for themselves, because they must reap what they have sown. May God have mercy on them and open their eyes to see what they're headed for in their wickedness. Because the Lord Jesus on the cross, when he took the sins of the world on himself, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And really, we're spiritually blind if we're in sin and unbelief. We can't see what we stumble over. We'll be right back. Praise God. This is Michael J. on the road to Damascus.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Jay in the second hour of The Road to Damascus. This is a call-in program. We have another hour, praise God. Our producer is Mitchell Bupp. He's ready to take your call. When I see your call pop up on the screen here, I'll give you an opportunity to share whatever it is you want to share. Be circumspect, because if people want to say something I'm not in agreement with, I will let you know what I think about that. Praise God. I mean, it's the least I can do, right? The issue is, this is a program about God's goodness, what he has done to reveal to us his salvation in thousands of years of prophecy. He brought to pass in the fullness of time a revelation of his salvation in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. And he said, you will call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ was revealed as the visible image of the invisible God. He told his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, this is glorious, because Jesus is in the image of the Father, and yet both of them are God. Forever, you know, he's been God forever. Like he prayed in John 17, restore to as I've been meditating on the meaning of some words, that eternity is a dimension that goes back forever and ever in time. Actually, eternity existed before time. So eternity is outside of time, outside of temporal reality, actually outside of the creation, because the Lord has been the Lord forever and will be the Lord forever. So the bidirectional reality, if we can wrap our heads around this, is that eternity past goes forever and eternity future, excuse me, goes forever. And here we are in this little slice in the middle of eternity. It's sort of like, for me, an example is the bandwidth of the electromagnetic spectrum that encompasses infrared to ultraviolet, which we can perceive. And we perceive other things, you know, that go into X-rays and things like that. But the reality is we can see a small portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. And so we can see a small portion of the reality of what it means to be in time, because what's happening is we're headed towards an eternal reality of a new heavens and a new earth. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. So a new heavens and a new earth, it says, you know, the old heavens and earth will pass away, but the new heavens and the new earth will they'll be made out of eternal stuff. They will never pass away. So we were in Psalms 9. And, I'm going to read again, starting in verse 13. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, you that lift me up from the gates of death. Excuse me, the title for today's program is Preparing for Battles in the Cause of Christ. What I'm encouraging us to consider is this. We're in time, but while we're in time, certain things are contending with us. There is a battle between good and evil, eternal good and eternal evil. And the mind-blowing concept of good and evil needs to be considered, because the Word of God says God created both good and evil. Why? Let's say it this way. God created good and evil, but before Lucifer and the angels fell, they were not evil. But when they fell in pride and in rebellion against God, they actually were manifested. They began to manifest what they entered into in their rebellion, which was evil. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which is identified in the Word of God as evil. All occult power is evil. But the power of God is manifest in holiness. So the issue is people that are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that is everyone that is born in the first Adam, is encouraged by the power of the gospel, which is manifest, by the way, in the whole of creation. The whole creation reveals the glory of God. And when God moves on people, and when the Word of God is allowing us to pray for all men in the Spirit, for all men, that God would cleanse them, that is, sprinkle them with the blood of Jesus over all the nations as part of his royal priesthood, and praying for the outpouring of his Spirit in all flesh, God is bringing people to himself where the gospel of Christ is illegal in different places in the world. God visits them because of the prayers of God's people, sends them dreams, sends them visions. Sometimes people have said that Jesus Christ just appears inside their house and starts talking to them in their own language, praise God, and their whole family comes to Christ. God gives them grace. God gives them grace in doing what they need to do and obeying him in baptism. And sometimes they have to do it in secret, because people that, if they found out, people in their own families, they would turn them in so they could be stoned. So the reality is the power of the gospel is manifest in this royal priesthood because we're called to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting, praying for all men. Why? So that men can be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. We're praying for God's will. And let me tell you, a lot of people believe in free will, but the only free will men have in themselves, that is in their own nature in the first Adam, is they have the freedom to sin. Because it is written, there are no good men. No one seeks God, no, not one. The reality is we have, apart from Christ, we have the freedom to sin, to continue in unbelief, to actually begin to do those things that are inconvenient. Want to read about the horror of our sinful nature? Read the first chapter, the first two chapters in the book of Romans, praise God. So here, O Lord, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, you that lift me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down into the pit that they have made, and the net which they hid is their own foot taken. That's right. They dig a pit for the wicked and for the innocent and fall into it themselves. Why? Because God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. There are wicked men out there. I know that this is true in myself, and I think many others wonder, Lord, why do you allow these monsters to continue to breathe your air? I mean, haven't they sown enough wickedness? You know, we're wondering why sociopathic, narcissistic, mass murdering scumbags like Dick Cheney, George Bush, George Soros, let's get some names here. George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Henry Kissinger, Bill Gates, all these sociopaths, people that are promoting this kind of wickedness, like Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein, why do you allow them to continue to breathe your air? And when God told me the atmosphere, he told me the answer to this, it blew my mind. Okay, he came to save sinners, and he said to me, consider the long suffering of the Lord, that is his patience, even with the wicked, as salvation. Right up to the end of their lives, to maybe their last breath, if they're still conscious, although God could visit people in their unconscious state. The reality is, while there is life, there is hope. So God can save the most wicked among us. Because the word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, religious people will say, well, that's just cheap salvation. That's not real. That they say that because they don't know the Lord. They're walking in their own religious flesh thinking their works or the lack of wickedness is overt in their life means they're saved. No. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Christ alone is our salvation, not in our works. Okay. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon Selah. Higayon Selah is, there are two words, it's a term that points to something amazing. And the scholars that have researched this, the original languages, have said that this could mean, oh my soul, meditate on the tremendous truth my hand has penned, and let all who read the same meditate. So what does he want us to meditate on? The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. In the net which they have hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon Selah. And the next verse is like an amen to that. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's verse 17 in Psalm number 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. I'm going to go over those last two verses again. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. That is, consider. O my soul, meditate on the tremendous truth my hand has penned, and let all who read the same meditate. Praise God. So the reality is, I want people to respond to this, because when they respond by the Spirit, they are also confessing Christ, even as I am confessing Christ, because Christ is the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Reading the living words of God is actually confessing Christ, praise God, if we're walking in faith. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell, are you there, brother?
Hello, Michael J. How you doing, brother?
Well, praise God. How do you like the program so far, brother? Let me put you right on the spot.
Oh, it's good.
God is good. Amen. Would you like to share anything today, or would you like to invite people onto the program to, you know, because they might not be so intimidated by our friend?
No, don't be shy, Michael J. He's okay. give us a call, everybody, 540-352-4452. I did notice Studio A, the deacon, was not here yet. So, everybody, come on down and join us. God bless.
Okay, so you have Studio A up and running on this program?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if he's running late. Sometimes in court.
Oh, okay.
And our friend Johnny is on the line. Just called.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless
you.
Hey, John,
what's going on, man?
Good day, sir.
Praise God.
You know, I just was moved by the Holy Spirit to call in because, man, things are just moving so fast. I'm having a hard time keeping up with him. But I'm going to do the best I can. But I'm thinking about running for sheriff just because we need justice and order in this town. And
that's
true,
brother.
I made that declaration about a week ago, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make this happen. And I want to do it just so I can show people how we've been misled, and I can be the authority to and indict and go.
Are you there?
It looks like
what
he
happened?
Got knocked off. Here, let me
oh my goodness.
Call him back.
Hey, John, call back, brother. Call back. Somebody might not have liked what you were saying, brother. They don't want anybody to
somebody
challenge.
Did.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to challenge their Freemasonic stranglehold on America. So call us back, John, for Jesus' sake. Because, look, it's really important. People that are going to run and that need to run for office. There you are, John.
We must have got dropped off somehow. Well,
we somehow did, brother. Praise God.
And when important things are being said, that just seems to be the M.O.
Yeah, what an unholy coincidence. Praise God.
It is.
Go on, brother. Well, I'd vote for you if I was there in Missouri. The show me state. You got to show the people in Missouri what's going on, John.
I do. And you know, I'm willing to come forth first, you know, and say, hey, these are all the things that I've done that you might consider crimes, but I want you to hear them from my mouth other than somebody that pretends to be my friend but really is my enemy. And I am not that man, and I will shine light on that darkness, and I'm a changed man, and I don't do those things anymore. And if I can't get done with the things that I promised, you know, like which is abolishing the property tax and showing you how to escape the Federal Reserve grip and start bringing some of these people to justice in 6 months, then I'm gonna ask that, you know, I be replaced and somebody else come fill my shoes, because that's gonna be my duty, and I'm gonna do everything I can. And if I have to deputize all my buddies, that way we can
that's
go
right.
around DC, we're gonna do it. And but somebody's got to do something, and you know, but the God was telling me, you know, I really need to get into the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. It's super important,
that's right.
It is super important. I feel that is the direction. And sir, I must confess, I'm ready. And I didn't think I was ready. And I
find somebody that's been baptized,
it.
Johnny. Find somebody uh-huh. that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and go to them and ask them, you know, if you could maybe fast for a couple of meals or whatever. I mean, this is just me talking right now, but this is what I
maybe
would do.
We can just
and then
we can discuss that later. Yes.
No, but no, this is important because many people need every Christian needs
baptism.
That they find somebody who's
You're
been
right.
baptized in the Holy Ghost, who they witness is walking with God, and ask them, you know, in the God do it, put it together so they lay hands on you and pray that you receive the Holy Spirit, because that's the way they did it. In the book of Acts, they lay hands on people who they were already baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to pray in another language. So do it biblically.
Wow.
Read the book of Acts, and you'll see these examples. Okay, brother?
I will, sir. Thank you so much. You know.
Oh, by the way, thank you for sending me that thing about what was that called? I forget the term. I copied the
revocation
video.
Revocation of election.
Say it again.
Revocation of election.
Now, what does that mean, John?
That means the proper process to revoke how you were elected to give those guys all your money.
Yes, under corporate law, they deceived us, turned us into chattel asset property with an all capital letter name so we could be legal fictions under the legal fiction of a counterfeit antichrist, anti-constitutional counterfeit government. So the reality is, they are a counterfeit government. I didn't mean to do two negatives, but the reality is the real government is based on the original Constitution of 1791. Amen, John?
Amen, brother.
So God bless
not
you, Johnny,
to mention,
and God bless you
in
your faithfulness. Go ahead, whatever.
Not to mention, you know, this was the first country that chose to worship God. That's why we're so blessed. Don't you guys forget it.
In the beginning, that's right. A right foundation was building on the rock. It is the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
It is. So if you're a patriot and you love this country, don't say you love it, but you love it without the word of God, because then you're not a patriot. You're misled.
That's right.
You're
just a pagan. You're a pagan.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, God help
hey,
us, because
bless you guys,
only God can return this nation
Thank you.
Back to righteousness.
Thank you,
John.
Absolutely.
Amen. Thanks,
what a
John.
Program. Thank
we'll
you,
talk
sir.
Later. Okay, brother.
You bet. You bet.
Thank
Goodbye.
You, man. Bye-bye. Well, the issue for us is this. Every single man, woman, and child has a life that's been given them by God, and it can be redeemed by God through Jesus Christ, and we need to share the reality of our... Is he still on the air and hasn't hung up yet? Brother, you want to hang up on that? Thank you, brother. Praise God. Yeah, the reality is that all of us are being invited by the Holy Spirit. That is, those that can hear his that still small voice, invited by the Holy Spirit to receive the salvation that God has for us, because Jesus in our lives, he's the door into the sheepfold. He's the way to God. But the reality, that's just the beginning. We need to be taught by the Holy Spirit how to walk with God, how to talk with God, how to receive and how to offer our sacrifices of praise through Christ, and how to allow him to sow into the garden of our hearts, into the fields in our hearts, so that he can have a harvest in our lives, and so that he can actually make us fruitful. What does it mean? Well, he told us before he went to the cross. He said, if a seed does not die, it abides alone. But when the seed is cast into the ground and it dies, it will bear much fruit. That's the truth of it. You can keep a bag of seed and never sow it. You can know the word of God in your head, but not walk in it, not sow it by faith. But when we sow the, and when God sows the seed of the word of God into our lives, he must bring us to the cross, because we will find our natural lives decreasing. He will bring us to the place of a continual grace of confessing. I don't have it in myself. I can't do anything apart from you. You're the vine, I'm the branches. Apart from you, I can do nothing. There's no good thing in me. Like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. We are confessing our natural, sinful inertia, if you will, our natural strength. And we're saying, Lord, please come into my life today and release me in newness of life by the word of God so I can walk by faith with you. That's the process, okay? And the process is he, in his faithfulness, will try us. As it is written, in faithfulness, you have afflicted me, that I might learn your law. The walk with God is not a deliverance from all affliction. The walk with God is about experiencing the grace to being able to do all things through Christ our Savior. We can learn how to be abound in Christ, and we learn how to be abased, okay? That's God's grace in our life. So I'm going to go directly over to Jude right now. I was going to go into Proverbs chapter 9, and it's powerful. But let's go to Jude, who was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. He had the same mother, but a different father, praise God. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. Well, James was also a half-brother of Christ. He had Mary as his mother, and he had Joseph as his father. But the Lord Jesus, his father, was the Almighty God, because Mary was found with child by the Holy Ghost. So Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. If Christ is at work in your life, you're being preserved. That's his job. He purchased you. You are his. He knows how to take care of what is his. As it is written, of those the Father gave to me, I have lost none except for the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That was Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. The Lord said about him, it would have been better for that man had he never been born. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us by Jude. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And praise God, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why is Jude telling people to earnestly contend for the faith? Because the faith of Christ is a rebuke of everything that's wicked in the way this world is designed. The whole world lies in the wicked one. We have laws, but you can keep all the traffic laws. You can, if you find the grace, to keep all the laws of a counterfeit government and still go to hell. You can put your trust in keeping the laws of Moses and still go to hell. Because the word of God says that in our flesh we cannot fulfill the law. Okay? Cursed is everyone who keeps the law if he breaks even a part of it. Okay? So we can't keep the law. We're saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to at this time acknowledge I can sense the presence of God, because there are people listening. There are people praying for me. They may not even be listening, but they're praying for me. And in this work of sharing the love of God in the gospel of Christ, I am being helped. I am being blessed. I am being encouraged and instructed. I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit. He is helping me, and I'm walking. I'm in the presence of God and experiencing his holy joy. And this is part of my walk with God.
Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto me, unto you rather, of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Well, we just live by faith. We have choices when we're around other people, and they want us to join them in their revelry, or they want us to join them in their unbelief, or in their immoral joking, or whatever, or in their swearing, you know, or in their humanist outrage against one thing or another, or, you know, like the people who are outraged that some people don't believe that young girls can become boys and young boys can become girls. No, we cannot agree with fools. We cannot agree with people who are being deceived by unclean, evil spirits. We cannot agree with them. And if the word of God says it this way, bad company corrupts morals. When the Lord tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate, he's doing that so he can separate us not only from evil, but separate us unto himself, where we can receive more and more blessing in the presence of our Savior. Hallelujah. That's what God does. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. But you know, you want God to enlarge your vessel so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, so you can be trained to be a fisher of men, so you can have rewards that last for eternity, so God can use you as a witness to introduce others to your Savior. He will show you how to do that. He said, I will teach you how to be fishers of men. Well, he's saying that to us. He will teach us how to be fishers of men. So you wait on God, and God will show you how to receive the power to be his witnesses. Okay, now he says that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? They will tell people, because of grace, you can continue to be in fornication. God will forgive you. You can continue to use pornography. God will forgive you. Only that's from the pit of hell. You can continue to eat food that is about the worship of this world. Okay? How do we translate that? Because we're not going into temples of idols, or are we? Are we going into sports bars and getting drunk and fooling around and being immoral with people in other sex or in our same sex? Are we thinking we can do this and that we can continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, if you think that, you've already been deceived and you need to repent. You need to repent right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. Don't think that God is going to allow you to mock him. The word of God says, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you've been walking in the flesh, you've been sowing in the flesh, and you will reap what you've been sowing. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. It's, without faith, it's impossible to believe, to please God. Without faith, it's impossible for people to please God. Did they enter into eternal life? Personally, I don't believe they did. This horrific judgment for people who could not enter into the promise. This horrific judgment is what Jude is using by the Holy Spirit to exhort people he said that I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that was a physical salvation. They experienced putting blood on the door, the Passover, the blood of the Passover lamb, so the death angel would not take them out. And God brought them through a baptism in Moses when he brought them through the Red Sea. And then they watched God destroy their enemies. Then they received the evil report of 10 spies and they refused to obey God and enter in at that time. And so God destroyed that generation, not their children, not those below 20 or 20 and below, but he destroyed that generation in the wilderness, keeping them in the wilderness for 40 years because they had mocked God by not going in. And all the pagans who knew about what was going on in Egypt, all the pagans saw the people of God refuse to enter in. And God kept them in the wilderness 40 years. Now, when it became time for them to enter in, the Lord told Moses, you're not going to enter in. And he went up on a mountaintop, looked into the land that they were going to enter into, but then God took him home. We know he was taken home with God because in the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared to the Lord Jesus, and God the Father was manifest in a golden cloud, and three of his disciples were there, Peter, James, and John, and they were utterly transformed, you know, with terror. They were amazed by what happened, but the Lord himself, he was transformed, you know, being covered with a glorious light and white. So his garments were, you know, super bright. He was experiencing glory when he was discussing with Moses and Elijah his coming, crucifixion, and resurrection. So the Lord sent his two witnesses, the law and the prophets, to comfort his son on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we know Moses couldn't enter in. That first generation had all died in the wilderness, and the next generation was going to be led into the promised land by Yeshua, Joshua. Okay? Read the book of Joshua. It'll blow your mind. Because they were still contending with huge giants. And the book of Joshua details that. They were contending. And God was using great rocks to destroy the giants and other things in the promised land. So anyway, I will therefore put you in remembrance that, quote, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed God, and the angels which kept not their first estate. These are the fallen angels that are revealed in the book of Enoch. They kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That strange flesh means anything out of holiness in having sexuality for marriage alone, not to celebrate lust, not to be involved in fornication, in satanic in satanic rituals for sexuality as unto, you know, their demonic entities, but they were going after strange flesh. It says that are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. If you read about this in the book of Genesis, fire and brimstone came down and totally, utterly, instantly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. And the word of God says that the lake of fire is made of fire and brimstone. And it's in total darkness also. Total darkness. There's no light there. Not forever. Light is an aspect
of God's nature and character. There is no light. It's eternal darkness in the lake of fire. So likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these, we're talking about these filthy dreamers, speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds are they without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what I'm talking about. The blackness of darkness forever. That's what's happening in the lake of fire. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now here is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now also a servant of the living God. He's quoting Enoch. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his holy, of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You see, God's going to judge all the wicked. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Now remember, this was written about 1900 something years ago, right? Mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Think about the sodomites, the fornicators, the adulterers, the wicked, okay? People, the child traffickers. Think about these people who have given themselves over to wickedness because of the love of money, and because they are utterly enslaved to their sin. Like the Lord Jesus said, those who commit sin are enslaved to sin. So, but beloved, it says here, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in your heavenly language. Because we pray in the Spirit, and we pray with understanding. We sing in the Spirit, and we sing with understanding. That's part of this glorious power of God, which comes to rest on people who wait on the Lord for power to be his witnesses. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God, it says, verse 21 of Jude. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Why? The word of God says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. Seeking is looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're seeking that mercy. Why? Because we have been saved, those of us that know him and have been born again. We are being saved at this present moment. Moment by moment, we're being changed from glory to glory in his holy presence as we are led by his Holy Spirit. And we will be saved because
God shows us how to not rely on our religious flesh, but in trusting in God, who is able to keep us. And that's what we're going to talk about this right now. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Remember, I told you, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You want to draw close to God? Go into Psalms and start saying the Psalms out loud, or start singing the Psalms out loud. Just you and God. Nobody needs to be around if you don't know how to sing. It doesn't matter. The Word of God says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you want to start singing, saying, I praise you, O Lord. I praise you, O Lord. I praise you. If you want to do that, he inhabits our praise. Don't be shy before the one who knows everything about you already. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will lift you up. He'll give you the grace to be manifest in his kingdom as one of his ambassadors, one of the servants of the Most High God, one of his royal priesthood, one of the sons of God. Like John said, now are we the sons of God, and surely our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to read this last two verses again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. That was that little book of Jude written by a half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's in the Bible. It's the last book before we get to the Revelation. So if people want to call in now, we've got a few minutes, more than 10, I think. People want to call in now and say what they would like to discuss in a future program, please do that. Or if you're in the chat room on Revolution Radio and you want me to discuss a certain thing, it may be that our brother Mitchell will watch the chat room and you can share. Or you can go over to my fascist book page, Michael-Jay, Michael J, and my family name is Anderson. I don't have a last name because only corporations have a last name. I have a family name. It's not my name. Anderson is not my name. It's my family name. My name is Michael J. The two first names in Christian tradition, the two first names are your Christian name. So I keep them together just so people know I don't have a middle name. I have a Christian name. It's called Michael J. And I have a family name. It's called Anderson. You can go over to my fascist book page, send me a friend request, or if you are a friend, just message me and say, hey, Michael J., would you talk about this? Would you share this? Would you, you know, open up a discussion about this subject or that? And then if you do that, I want to share with you, you know, what I think, if that's what you want to do. But the issue is, if we're gathering as we do on this program in the name of Jesus Christ, so we can experience his presence, so we can glory in him and his salvation, so we can worship the one who paid for us, purchased us with his own blood, and took all our sin and disease on himself on the cross. If we want to glory in him, well, that's what this program is about. 540-352-4452. I have been blessed in sharing what God gave me to share today. And as I like to do, you know, I like to talk about Christ as the one who gave me poetry, to worship him in poetry, you know. And I'm going to talk about a poem today. It's about our nature. The Lord was teaching me. This was in 2008. Boy, I was afflicted then. This was just 2 years after my beloved was taken into the arms of her Savior. 2 years after. And the Word of God says, you know, that he works all these things together for good for those that love him and are the called according to his pleasure. But part of this was my mourning, my grieving was also part of my healing, because the Lord let me have my heart ripped apart when my beloved was taken from me, so he could cut through all the decades of scar tissue that came from having been abandoned as a child. Functionally abandoned, because my mother had to work. And there was no one to care for me except an older lady, and she couldn't, you know, deal with me. I was a wild man, without any discipline, without any father. So the issue is, I'd be walking around in the lower parts of Manhattan in, I guess it was 1950. I was three to four years old in 1950. And 1951, all alone, because I was essentially functionally abandoned. And after the Lord let me be separated from my wife, who was, she was one of the greatest, most indescribable, loving people I had ever met in my life. And God used her to bring profound healing in my life because of the love of God that was in her. When the Lord took her home, he allowed my heart to be almost torn in half. It was beyond description. And so the Lord began to teach me about his sufficient grace when the pain that was in my soul often had me screaming day and night. I was in such agony because the Lord was doing a deep work. So one of the poems he gave me is called The Gifts That Wait. The Gifts That Wait. And I spoke about these things out of my own experience and testimony, praise God, because he was doing a lot of things in my life other than just getting me, barely getting me through the days because of my grieving, which was a part of that experience. Sometimes important things seem late, and our hearts are tested as we wait. The faith that needs to be engaged must hear the words that God relates. Our hearts are longing in this state for joys that find some hope and grace. In spite of tests and long delays, we hope in prayer and trust his ways. Our days and weeks add time and space to the work of hope and patient grace, and our inner clock reveals the pace that loves the promise in his face. When things we thought were surely great have come and gone and failed to sate, our wonders stir our fears of fate, but loving faith still knows to wait. The treasures that must cause our wait are things that faith anticipates and understands that needed change in our own hearts has caused delay. The creation echoes our travail. Our hearts are bruised, our souls wail. As sovereign God over us prevails in calling us to a higher trail, his faithfulness has made, his faithfulness has known how frail the dust he made us from remains. His love sustains us in these trials, and his grace redeems our gold refined. The reality is, our brother Job said, though he tries me, even if he tries me, I know I will come forth as gold. Job, our brother, said, even if he kills me, my soul will trust in him Though he kills me, I will trust in him. The reality is, what God allows in our lives is for our eternal good, for those that have heard his voice, have received his promise, as it is written in Romans 8. For we know that God works all things together for our good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. We have to be able to find the grace to say that, that he works all things together for our good. By what? By being led of the Spirit, shown how to walk and love God, and how to make sure our calling and election, make our calling and election sure, as it is written in 2 Peter. The word of God says, man will not live by bread alone. That is the natural things of God, the natural things that feed us, not only our physical bodies, but our souls and our spirits. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But only the Lord can give us the grace to come to the table he sets before us. We're almost done. May God have mercy on this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. May God move by his Spirit over all the people in this nation as we sprinkle them by faith with the blood of Christ, and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh to give us repentance and to raise up a holy standard and godly men and prophets calling America to repentance. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me. God have mercy on us.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on